on the show tonight, we've got...
Every night was a battle.
You can lock this in, take it to the bank.
No class at all. It's unbelievable.
They should see a relatively quick turnaround.
Show me the money!
Big water slide, snow cone truck and everything.
One team stands alone.
Well, you know what I think about Troy.
I'm losing my mind over here.
We've got the moment you've all been waiting for.
Of course.
Welcome into a special Bench Boys podcast. That's right, it's something new. We've got a really special interview today. It is the head coach of the Coastal Carolina women's basketball team, Ms. Jada Williams. First of all, this was an incredible interview. I had so much fun getting to talk to her. We're branching out. We're trying to meet new coaches, and she was a really, really fun interview.
Just going through it and editing it after the fact, I absolutely loved it, and she has so much personality. She's so funny. I love it.
Love it. She's got a lot of respect for a lot of good coaches, as you're going to hear in the interview what she's learned along the way. So without further ado.
Well, real quick, I want to go ahead and give her a little bit of a shout out. I don't know her Twitter handle off the cuff. We should probably start doing that. Mm-hmm. But I do know you can follow Coastal Carolina at Coastal WBB. So Coastal W for women, BB for basketball on Twitter. You can follow us on Twitter at the OG Bench Boys. Hit the subscribe button, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, let's get to it. So your career and all the places you've been through coaching and playing, what are some of the things that you learned at each stop that you've kind of implemented in your coaching career?
You know, one of the things that that I have learned in sports is change is typically inevitable in sports, and that you've got to be ready and willing to adjust and adapt and grow wherever you are, bloom wherever you're planted, and when your assignment is somewhere else, then you set roots there and you bloom there, and you just kind of pack light in this profession. And so that's probably one of the biggest things that I've learned.
And I'm an Iowa guy. My co-host isn't the biggest Iowa guy in the world, but I followed them. I saw that you coached at Iowa and you got to learn under the great Lisa Bluter. What was it like getting to learn from such a legendary head coach?
You know, Coach Bluter is an amazing woman. And she was someone that, when I worked for her, she was able to balance an awesome husband, I believe 3 children, a team full of young women, a staff, and she did it all with such grace and perfection. And, you know, she just was so loving, very caring, such a teacher, but was also a great listener. She was probably one of, you know, I've worked for amazing people, and all who are richer, you know, just they're great people. But, you know, Coach Bluter was the epitome of you can have it all. Family, work, you know, excellence. She is a woman of character. And it was just, it was incredible to be able to work with her. And, you know, one of the coolest experiences that I had when I was at Iowa working for Coach Bluter was, it was Vivian Stringer's first time coming back to Iowa. And she was bringing her Rutgers team that had Cappy Pondexter, Chelsea Newton, all, you know, that when they were a Final Four team, and welcomed them back. And she was so gracious and so loving with Coach Stringer that it was just, you know, you never know how people take the legends that came before the legend. And, you know, she was so gracious and so awesome when Coach Stringer came back to town. And, you know, there was never an insecurity or anything. She allowed Coach Stringer to have her shine, and you know, she's just an amazing human. And yeah, I can't say enough.
Where do you see the game of women's basketball growing the most over the next couple of years?
You know, I feel like people are catching on. I feel like the publicity around, I feel like ESPN has done a phenomenal job in getting the ESPN watch, and most games are televised on ESPN Plus. The exposure is getting larger and larger. You know, the talent is through the roof. The coaching is as great as it's been over the years. I think our brand is just continuing to trend in the correct direction, and it's so fun to be a part of. you know, such an integral part of history. I don't know if you were following some of the WNBA, you know, renegotiations that they had, but, you know, what the Agumakes and those that were on the board have done for women's basketball is incredible. Mm-hmm. Those young women aren't going to have to pay for play for $40,000 to play in our league. Mm-hmm. They now get six figures and they get put, you know, they're starting to make, you know, what would be considered really good money to play the sport.
Where do you see it growing? Does it start with high schools or middle schools? Where's the biggest part of the game that could grow?
You know, I think that we can become a sport that is completely standalone in terms of, you know, have our own fan base and be able to, you know, it's going to continue to trend in an upward direction, in my personal opinion. I think that our game can become similar to what it is overseas. You know, overseas, they draw great crowds. The players are paid very handsomely. And so I think that we could bring that, and our game in the U.S. will grow to be that of what it is overseas.
You know, obviously it happened a couple of weeks ago. It was a tragic event that really took the world by storm, but obviously Kobe's death, he had a huge impact on the game, which I wasn't really aware of, his impact on the game of the women's basketball. What did you, in your eyes, what was his impact on the game of basketball for your team?
You know, I have a student athlete, DJ Williams. I don't know if you've heard of her.
I think we have.
She's from the LA area, and she grew up saying Kobe. You know, Kobe was her go-to guy. You know, for the WNBA, he was a presence that was there consistently. You know, at the games, supporting the games. You know, with his daughters, he was an advocate for women. He loved our game, you know, Sabrina Ionescu, he's tweeting at her, you know, Diana, you know, he just found a way to make our game relevant, which is awesome. We needed that. You know, Kevin Durant's been doing that for years. We've had Steph Curry, who's been doing it for years. I've just felt like with the stardom that Kobe had and continues to have, I just feel like when he did it, it made it so cool. Like, he wasn't just tweeting about it. He was present. And, you know, he made sure that people knew that women's basketball mattered, because he knew that he had a star in his own daughter who would one day live out those dreams. And, you know, God bless his family. You know, the hurt still hurts for our team. I know we honored him with our game. You know, the Thursday after his passing. And, you know, I think that it rocked our entire basketball community, everyone. And so, you know, I just hope that more guys step up and take the torch where he left it off.
Of course, you guys had back-to-back winning seasons, a great foundation, 21 wins, most wins so far, tied for the most wins. What has the process been like for this team over the past 3 years?
Yeah, 21 now, tied for program best. Hopefully we'll surpass that. tied for program best in history. But, yeah, so, you know, I think that over the last 3 years, you know, it started with great leadership. I don't know if you've gone down the roster. I'm going to – you go down our roster and see these kids have grown up together. And so 3 years ago, they were babies. They were all babies, literally. They were sophomores and freshmen, and I had one senior, and who was a phenomenal senior for me that year. And she was able to, I want to say, start the winning mindset. She started the winning mindset for us. And then I think everything just kind of slowly evolved, you know, the way that it should. And so, you know, once we get into our year this year, you know, I'm not really sure. You know, I guess a lot of times when we do preseason polls, we just vote, you know, you kind of vote people where they finish, because you don't really know what, you know, you don't really know what anyone has. And so, you know, we didn't take it any kind of way. We just knew preseason polls are what they are. You know, all that mattered was what those young ladies in the locker room believed. And that was that we would take it one game at a time, which we've had. and we would see what happens. And you know, thank God we've done okay for ourselves so far.
You guys are coming off an incredible weekend with a huge win over Troy. Take me through that game that saw over 200 points scored in that game. What did you tell your team at halftime? Like, just keep doing what you're doing, or what is the process?
First, you like that defensive battle we had, huh?
Yeah, right?
that grinded out defensive battle. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I thought that we kind of overhyped ourselves for the game the first time that we played. And I always take them back. I took them back to that game prior to playing Troy. And, you know, I thought we – first, Troy's a dang good team. Like, I do not want to – I can't discredit that. They are ranked as high as they are RPI-wise and everything, because they deserve it. They are really good. And so I think that – when we went into the first game, we kind of overhyped ourselves mentally. It was, you know, we'd had a great preseason. We had program's best start ever. And, if you know, I know that you know this, last season we had a great start as well, and then mm-hmm. we started conference 0-6. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like those emotions of we're not going to do that again, as well as we're playing this really good team, we just made it like we were facing war, literally, you know? And I felt our student athletes were tight and they were just, oh my God. And so it was halftime during that game that I said, guys, literally, this is just a basketball game. If we win or we lose, we'll look at the film, we'll get better. But literally, it's not the end of the world. And, you know, we came out and we put up better numbers the third and fourth quarter. We won the third and fourth quarter versus Troy. And so this entire week, as people were hyping up that game, I made it as probably mellow as possible. Guys, it's just another game. We just got to go out there and do what we do. And no matter what the results are, if you give everything you have, we'll be proud of that. And so, you know, we had to kind of take it into the opposite direction instead of, this is the game and let's go. Like, no, it was actually quite opposite for my group.
So 124 points later, are you thinking, like, can we just do this every game?
No. Every game requires a different type of strategy from coach. Okay. You have to understand that. I felt like I went with what I thought was best for this game, and it worked out. But every game requires something different, trust me.
In that game, DJ has 51 points on 31 shots. What's the plan? Do you just try to feed her the ball?
We didn't set out for it to be like that. I don't think any of those historic nights you set out for it to be that way. I know she had a lot of nervous energy to start the game. And so I think the first half, if I remember correctly, we had a lot of foul trouble. She wasn't one of the ones. So she, you know, she was able to take a lot of that responsibility on. I think funny story, once we got into this, she had 26 in the first half. And so it was like, okay, DJ, you know, this is cool. Then, so that senior, remember that senior I was telling you about, you know, when we had a young team 3 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
She was actually in the stand. And versus mm-hmm. Troy last year on senior, or 2 years, 3 years ago, she had 40 points. And so all she said at halftime is, I just want to beat Jazz. And Jazz was in the stands that day. And so I was like, all right, go ahead and beat Jazz. So she finally gets to 40. And so I said, well, you know, the HTC record is 45, right? And so she's like, cool. And then before you know it, we were at 50.
Oh, my God.
She had one of those. She was in a zone. You know, it was just, you could see it in her eyes from the tip that this was something that she wanted so badly. And, you know, once the numbers started getting up there, it was, you know, it was just about beating her old senior who was in the stands that day. And then, you know, it turned into being something that neither one of us could have ever dreamed about. And then I think what's most impressive for me as a coach, you know, typically after you come in from an emotional high, your next game is going to be probably somewhere low. But for her, she comes and she brings in a triple double. That was, I was like, wow.
So what's more impressive, the triple double or the 51
points? I don't know. I think that both of them were very special. And she's been trying for that triple double for about 3 years now. And so to finally get it, and she had no idea, no clue until after the game, because our stats weren't working. Our stats weren't working properly that day. And so she had no clue until after the game. And then she was like, what? I was like, yeah, you did it, kiddo. And she was so excited.
And DJ, you know, she had an incredible week. What happens to a team when a player goes off like that? And how do you coach a team, you know, when you have a player that goes off like that and does what she did?
You know, I think you do it in recruiting. I'm so blessed to have young women in this program that love and genuinely support. They took her out for brunch to Sunday on our day off to, you know, the, you know, it's just they love each other genuinely and wholly. And I'm very fortunate to have that. And so, you know, for us, we had been, DJ is incredible, and I'm glad she's on our team. We are also fortunate to have Asia Blunt, Nyaria Hamilton, Tori Cash, Caitlin Roche, you know, who all can pick up the pieces, you know, in case the 50 piece isn't there that night, you know. And so very, very fortunate to have a group of girls who just really, the only thing that matters is trying to get a win, honestly.
And now we're gearing up for March. You tasted postseason last year, obviously with playing in the WBI. You've got players that have been there. What's the main thing that you are stressing to your players down the stretch?
Well, I'm trying to get them to quiet the outside noise of people saying, oh, let's, you know, we're the tournament and this. And I just need, you know, as much as possible, we're stressing a game that's in front of us, which is Georgia Southern, who's a really good team at home, who played us really tightly in our home place. And so the most important thing for me is the game that's in front of us and just kind of trying to drown out the noise around the program as much as we possibly can while, you know, celebrating it because they've worked extremely hard for this, but not letting it become a distraction.
And, you know, and we're looking at brackets, we're looking at seedings. Is there any team, you know, in the Sun Belt Conference that you'd like to avoid until maybe the championship game, if there is one?
I cannot. Every team is beatable in the NCAA tournament. In the conference tournament. We've seen it happen so much. Like, I just would like to just go straight to NCAAs. Can we skip all that extra stuff, the extra tournament? That every team in our league is so dang good, and they play so hard. And honestly, you put people on a neutral turf, oh my gosh, anything's bound to happen. And so I want to avoid all. No, that's bad to say, but they're all good, and whoever we get, and we'll give them our best shot. Yeah, I would love to get all the buys in the world personally. get us as close to New Orleans as possible. We would love to have that opportunity. But you know, it in March, everything is possible. Anything is possible. And so, you know, I learned early in my career, I used to try to play matchmaker with, you know, ooh, this person and that. And then it never really works out. So now I just leave it up. You know, God, it's already written. Who we have is who we have, and we'll give them everything we have.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at life. Coach, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. It was fun to get to talk to you and the conference leaders. And a fun team to watch down the road, as we'll see. And I know a lot of people around here are hoping for a Troy versus Coastal round three.
What's funny is before the game, Sanda, she's an incredible woman and someone I deeply respect in the game and one of my favorite coaches in the Sun Belt. I think she's such an outstanding person and coach. And so before the game, we were just like, man, this is so cool that we both are here right now. And so I was like, yeah. And I was like, let's just give the people what they want. Who knew it would turn out like that?
Well, Coach, thank you so much for coming on, and good luck to the rest of your season. Hope you guys can finish down the stretch. Thank you again, Coach.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Man, a fun interview. There's so many things I liked about what she said. Personally, I mean, the Troy Coastal Part 3, I, for one, am really hoping that happens.
Well, duh.
Maybe they'll score 300 points. Who knows?
yeah, it's going to overtake the men's
yes.
game from 91.
Yes. 150, 150. That's 300 points yep. right there. We're good. So, no, just her, all the things, she was so fun to talk about.
I loved when you asked the 51 points versus yeah. the triple-double. She goes, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I mean, what do you celebrate more? They're both amazing things.
Absolutely.
And I mean, just the way she answered all of it. And then she's a great coach. It was fun talking to her for, you know, 30 minutes. And definitely, definitely looking forward to watching this team. Coastal is going to be a real threat, I think, down the road, down the stretch.
So, again, you can get updates for them and the Coastal women's basketball team on Twitter at CoastalWBB. That's Coastal W for women, BB for basketball. And then we are on Twitter as well at the OG Bench Boys. He's at Colin Cahill 13. I'm at Thomas Gleaton. Hit that subscribe button, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I mean, this is cool. Expect more of this over the
yeah.
next couple
this
of weeks.
Fun.
This we're going to start pushing out some more content like this, and we're going to bring you guys just interviews just like this where you guys really get to meet and hear from these coaches up close and personal.
So if you have any suggestions, hit us up on Twitter, mm-hmm. hit us up on Facebook, hit us up wherever you can find us, and we'll get to you, and we'll hear you out, and if we like your idea, we'll use it. Thank you.
You are so kind.
I try.
Come on back, ladies and gentlemen.